Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 610. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
We have to be careful here with the awesome influence that this podcast has. But why do you guys keep saying it's so influential? I don't understand. I'd never say anything like that.
Earl is here.
And, just to give you folks a heads up, I am working with a Mr. Musk. I think we can get $34 billion for the podcast. I don't know what he's going to do after the fact, but, he seems to be throwing around money for no good reason. So
he's going to charge them $5 an episode to hear it.
Not an episode. $5 to download, 10 to listen.
Oh, makes sense. They have to make money somehow.
Yeah.
Under enormous purchase. Jeff is also here.
He is so fucked.
He really is.
It's like you're never covering any of this. Like, enjoy that interest on the debt there, buddy.
That was the thing. Like, the entire time, people were like, this deal can't go through because literally the interest on the debt is more than Twitter's entire revenue stream right now.
Dude, he's a fucking clown. Like, what the fuck were you thinking, dude? Why?
I mean, maybe he thinks he has enough. Well, maybe he's so tired of people making fun of him on Twitter that he's like, I'm just going to buy the whole thing and burn it to the ground.
Yeah.
Yes, but now he has everybody making fun of him.
Right.
Did he
think that people can't, like, go to Instagram and make fun of him? Like, what would, like, I can go on Facebook and make, like, I can go anywhere and make, I don't have to be on Twitter to do that.
You can go on Twitter and make fun of him. It's free speech.
That's right.
It's all about
free-ish speech.
It's all about, yeah, pay, but.
Free for the moment.
What a fucking dude.
Are you guys telling me that you're not going to pay $8 a month for your little check mark?
No.
I didn't care about check marks to begin with, and now.
Yeah.
Well, now it seems like what this like verified is also like Twitter Pro, because like you get, I guess you get a cleaner feed, priority on replies.
No, you can post longer videos. No. That is what he's promising.
Oh, what he's saying, yes. Well, I mean, you don't get anything currently. Like, there's no plan currently. So,
And since he's, like, already fired all the chief engineers, and now they're talking about another round of layoffs on Friday, like, who's going to implement this stuff? Because all the people who know...
Around either. Right,
all the people who know how Twitter's, like, back-end works, you let them all go.
It's one of those things where... Oh, man. You folks have kids.
Yeah.
You probably understand this. It's that kids make mistakes. And there are mistakes that adults and you know about. But you make them make it because they need to earn it on their own. But, there's something you just tell them not to do and just help this. And I think that is... Because there's things he's saying where I'm like, I'm sure at some point this has come up on Twitter, and there's a reason they didn't pursue this.
Right.
Like the one for charging for videos. There's a reason why Twitter does not encourage porn. There's a reason no social media site encourages porn. Because the moment you open that door, you also have to account for there's going to be child pornography. There's going to be revenge porn. It's going to be...
And you are providing a venue for that now. And you are responsible for the content on your site, which is why they've removed that stuff. Like, Twitter can be held liable for child pornography, which is why they moderate it. So, you have free speech. Anybody can post anything. Well, now... now people are suing Elon.
It's almost like he didn't think this through, or... knew what the fuck he was doing.
I mean, he tried everything he could think of to get out of it. He tried, he literally tried to cause nuclear war between the United States and Russia by, messing with the whole Ukraine thing in order to get out of this deal. He's like, well, if I present myself as a global security threat, then the government will come in and veto this deal.
Just a really big dumbass, that's all.
And that's the worst part about it. I mean, I've never been a fan. I'm not a fan. Like, honestly, until like 2 or 3 years ago, I didn't know who he was.
I know, right? It's like every exposure I've gotten to him, I'm like, this guy's a fucking weirdo. Like, I cannot believe people like him. You know what I mean?
They like him. There is this weird cult of worship for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I do not get it. He's got like zero charisma. He's fucking, everything he says is stupid. It's just like, okay, dude. Like,
it's exactly like Donald. It's the same thing.
I think Donald has more charisma than fucking Elon Musk.
No,
he probably does. But they are both shitty people who suck. But there are loads and loads of shitty people who suck, and they need somebody to root for. And it happens to be these guys.
Well, good luck with that Twitter purchase there, dumbass.
Some of it, I think, is that these people, like, they see themselves in, like, not the money, right? Like, they don't see themselves as rich. But, yeah, like, Donald Trump says, like, dumb shit, just like I do. Elon Musk says, shit, just like I do. Right, tell us like it is. Like, no, you just say dumb shit, and they do, too, because you're both dumbasses.
Like, but they're famous. Guy, everybody knows who they are.
This guy's rich and stuff, so he must be right. Like, he's saying the things I think. So I don't know. Yeah. But it's really funny to me that he bought Twitter. I don't know. It's just like, what the fuck?
I don't find it funny because it is going to ruin the site. And I
fucking blow it up. I give a shit.
And everybody's like, oh, just move on to a new social media. I'm like, there's a reason everybody's still on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like it offers something the others don't.
I'm not even sure that it does, but like I'm used to it. Like I'm comfortable with it. I know how to navigate Twitter. So like immediately moving on to like Instagram, which most of the things I get information from on Twitter are on Instagram anyway. Like I could move it, but I don't want to. That's a lot of work, and
it is, like, and we're building a network. Like, I use Twitter as a social network. It's the easiest way I find to talk to people and interact with them. It's like Instagram, it's like you're then commenting on people's pictures and stuff, and that's weird.
Yeah.
Like, have a conversation in that regard.
Yeah.
Where like Twitter, it's kind of like, you know, like you can kind of, oh, this person's talking about this. I can, again, granted, that has also been abused to hell. you know, like everybody kind of laments, or not laments, but we always talk about the good old days of Twitter. Like where I found you folks, where it's like, oh, you know, this person's talking to this person about video games. I can join the conversation and not have it turn into like a shouting match. And that has been something that, but like he's not, I mean, if anything, in his week, if not even that, he has been far worse.
Yes.
Because he's one of those Twitter trolls who now he can't be wrong. And like the thing with the originally came out at what was it, $10, $20?
Yeah.
And Stephen King's like, I'm not paying that. I'm gonna, because again, like the weird thing with Twitter's business model, if you can call it that, because it doesn't exist, is that the Twitter doesn't create any content. Twitter in itself offers nothing of value.
Right.
It's the people who use it that create the value. So if you use, so like having to be like, oh, I'm going to charge you folks to provide content for my site, that's backwards.
Yes.
Right, like I'm going to charge the people that have the largest following money to make stuff for my site, and they might leave and take their following with them. It's mind-boggling.
Or just say, I don't care about your fucking checkmark, dude. Like, whatever, you know, like.
Well, yeah, I do understand why, like, you know, somebody like Stephen King or like AOC is another one that kind of got into it with them on that would want that check mark, because anybody can go and say, like, I'm Stephen King, like, and you don't, that's what the verification was for. It was it's Stephen King. And now I can just be like, I'm Elon Musk. Like,
Yeah, but everyone's going to know who the real account is anyways, dude. The one that has fucking 6 million followers or whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
you've just spent the last several years seeing how dumb the average person can be.
Yeah. It's
I don't care, dude. If I'm fucking Stephen King or any of these people, I ain't giving them a fucking dime.
No,
no, and that's the problem. It's like they won't.
And that they don't need Twitter, right? Like they don't need this network. Yeah. Like Taylor Swift doesn't need Twitter. Like she's bigger than any one social network. Stephen King's bigger than you know Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. He doesn't need it. Like he has 40 years of like his work that backs him up.
Yes, because that if they wanted to, if they like, and like I think they like it's a free service for everybody, and that's what makes it appealing. Because like if you wanted to actually speak to these celebrities, that's what Cameo is for. If you want to see them, that's what Instagram's for.
I will continue to use Twitter as long as it's free and it exists. If either of those things changes, I'm gone. And you know what? I don't care. I won't find another social media. I'll go back to living life. Done with it.
I mean, just like, I'm going to go live life again. Been a long decade of no life living.
I know. I mean, I love the place. It's a fucking madhouse. There's always something funny every day, like someone saying some stupid shit. You know, it's a good time, but...
People say stupid shit everywhere, though. You could find that.
People enjoy Twitter. But again, it's hard. So I think the thing that people have pointed out, which, you know, some of it I didn't even think about, is that, one, it's one of the few that's, like, internationally agnostic. Like, there's no... Like, Twitter exists everywhere. It's not, like, it's beneficial to, you know, like, you have stuff which is, like, it's beneficial to the United States, or it's beneficial. Like, Japan has, like, Line, which is a social media account or thing we don't have. We don't use WhatsApp in the same way that a lot of, like, other countries do, for example. So, like, Twitter exists as, like, this platform that is not agnostic, but it does exist in a bubble where everybody gets to use it and everybody has access to it. It's, you know, like, yes, it's not going to hurt Stephen King, but it's going to hurt like those musicians and artists who were able to build a following on Twitter.
For sure. Like smaller independent artists and musicians and game developers, like they're going to lose that audience and that viral connection that you can get where, you know, retweets can send your thing out into the ethos and everybody kind of gets on board with it that way.
Well, yeah.
I don't need a blue check mark, so.
Yeah, I don't need it. For now, I don't need another thing to spend money on that I don't really need to.
Yeah, it'll be another subscription that I'll forget to cancel.
But I mean, I think that's the big thing. It's like, it's a subscription that actually offers nothing of value.
Right. Yeah, at least my PlayStation Plus subscription, which renewed, like I can redeem those games every once in a while. Like I get something out of it. It's not just, you know, a check next to my name. Oh, Twitter, what a shit show. Some games are out there, I think.
I mean,
before we get into games, I guess we could talk about how it affected gaming this week. With one of the premier gaming, I don't want to say personalities, but news aggregates on Twitter, decided to step down on what, Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, I think it was Monday. Nibble stepped down. Yeah. Which was funny because, like, I know that we've posted stuff into our own group chat, and then Walt was like, "Who is he?" Like, Walt, you posted stuff by him before, because he was just kind of like ubiquitous. Like,
how do you not know this guy? Knowing who Wario 64 is, like,
well, fine. I think a lot of people, like, it's one of those things where it's like, do you pay attention to the name?
Right. It's like you got the news. He was the news source. You didn't really focus on who was posting it.
Yeah, I assume if you told like Walt, if you showed him the picture, he might get it more than the name.
Probably. You have to, dude. Like
the one that I immediately thought back to, he was like, "Who is that?" I'm like, "You posted the fake account
yeah.
when it was the Bloodborne remake thing came up, that was debunked like an hour later." Which I thought was funny. But like he had a big enough following that he had, you know, troll accounts or you know, people like doing parody accounts to make fake news.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge following. And again, like Jeff said with Wario 64, it was a big enough personality that like people would go, like it was, it even see today, or like it's like weird to go on Twitter and not like have those people who are just going to like kind of share all the news. Like, what came out today? Something came out today news wise.
Did Wario 64 leave too?
No, not yet.
Oh.
Not yet.
Well, again, if one of the chief avenues of the thing, again, like somebody, you know, like you don't care about verification. I don't care about verification personally. I never, like, the blue check mark means little to me in terms of like, but it means stuff, it meant stuff to people in terms of like building a brand and being able to trust people. But also, like, I was reading a story about somebody who shared, like, it was a way to like kind of, and you still see this happen, and I think it happens a ton on Instagram now too, where folks are deluded into thinking like, oh, this person's DMing me, or this person's it's like a fan account and they're speaking to me specifically, and get, you know, roped out of money and stuff that then they kind of frame the celebrity for. We've seen incidences before where people have been attacked at shows and stuff because they thought they were communicating with a celebrity that they weren't. They were communicating with somebody using their account, making a fake account to charge, you know, to beg for money or whatever. And again, like I'm sure there's a ton of celebrities who are in DMs trying to ask for money for something. But yeah, it's one of those safeguards. And the other thing like he's talking about is like being able to like pay to DM your followers. And I'm like, that's no way that does not turn out bad.
Yeah. I mean, that ends like my primary use of Twitter these days is DMing with you guys. You're going to make me pay to do that? I can just do that on another. There's plenty of platforms where you can do that.
It's called adding group text.
Right. Like when we have, you know, our own Discord that we can use, that's an easy thing to set up. And there's plenty of other ways to do that. Just set up a group chat somewhere. Nibble.
I'm not super worried about anything here. Like,
yeah,
I'm more like, you know, it sucks if he like actually like destroys Twitter that like it doesn't exist at some point, or makes it just really awful. But in the meantime, it's kind of funny.
I mean, Nibble backing away from. You know, his Twitter account. I don't know how much of that is related to Musk.
He mentioned it, but I don't think he said it was like
the
main reason.
It wasn't the main reason. It's one, he was like, basically, I mean, what happened, for better or worse, seems like kind of to the point Jeff was making, is like, you know, like, Twitter isn't real life, and he built a following, and I think he tried to launch a patron, and it just did not take. Because, I mean, you are a news aggregate. Like, I don't know what you need a patron for to get news. Like, it's not like you're breaking news. So I think that's part of
like,
it.
You're
boosting the signal for. And I mean, and like he did a great job, right? Like he didn't just cover AAA stuff. You get indie stuff there. It's like he was just a kind of a resource that people used for that, and he tried to launch a Patreon and did not sell. I mean, so like when somebody like Greg Miller launches a Patreon, right? Like you're basing it off of his personality. This guy is a Twitter feed that,
yes,
for better or worse.
And that's what I was trying to say too, because that's why I avoided using the person, because it's not a personality,
right? He's just a great resource. I thought I got a lot of use out of his Twitter feed, but
he'd be good too for when there was like E3 shit. Like,
oh yeah,
if you weren't watching, like you could follow him or Wario and they were like up to the minute, like they would have the videos and shit out.
Yeah, they would like live stream these things. They'd have box arts, they had screenshots, they'd have the trailers posted in no time. And I think, you know, there is something to be said. Somebody can step up and fill that void. But again, it's starting from scratch.
Yep. And it does
with the new system, who knows when you verify who's going to be any, like we've seen, yeah. I mean, Jeff knows this more than any of us this year. We've seen a ton of people who have all the inside scoop on what Nintendo's doing. And then none of it turns out to be true. So imagine if there's dozen of them running around with verified check marks now, talking about like Metroid Prime trilogy's out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wind Waker and
sell me on it.
Yeah, they will. They because
it will sell you on it. That's the problem. Because Nintendo is not selling it to you. I don't know. I don't see myself going back to a site like IGN or GameStop for news. Like, I'll just source it through Twitter a different way.
Yeah, I think.
If you follow enough accounts on Twitter, you don't miss
shit. You get it. Yeah,
I follow like an obscene amount of accounts, and I see everything that's happening in the world. Like, anytime. Maybe that's not a good thing, but it works.
Just say the problem with that again becomes like when those accounts decide to dip, and then your news sites become gateway pundit, and you know, it's kind of what happened to Facebook. I assume most of us keep a Facebook account, but how active are you on it?
Not very.
No, I wouldn't go there. Like, you know, I kind of like live on Twitter, like where it's like, you know. If I'm opening my phone, I'm probably opening Twitter and like checking it, and then Facebook is like, "What's going on over there?" You know, it's like, "What's up?" And there, it's more to see like what's going on with like more people that you know and shit or whatever,
yeah.
Like your coworkers type thing. You know, Twitter is like the madhouse. It's the fucking. It's where you want to be.
I don't have a Facebook according to my coworkers, or Twitter. I don't believe in social media according to my coworkers. Okay.
Okay.
You don't have coworkers on Facebook? That's like the one of the few uses I have out of Facebook. I mean, actually, I do think Facebook has its uses. Like, I think
They could join me on LinkedIn. I got it.
Last time I logged into LinkedIn was 2013.
Oh God!
Oh no, Facebook has. I think Facebook has a use. I mean, Facebook is basically where I go to dump all my photos.
Facebook groups, I think, is really good. I use it a lot. I like groups.
I mean, Facebook has its uses. Like, it's
okay. What's going on here?
I'm not on Facebook. Keep it away.
It's fine. Away. You're not missing anything.
Like, groups is good. Like, hold on. Fuck.
Is like a snake attacking Jeff? Like,
maybe.
Groups is like. Do you use groups, right, Chris? Like.
Yeah, occasionally, yeah.
Like, I've been wondering, like, what's happening in DeKalb, Illinois? It's like, you just, if something's going down, hey, what were those gunshots? You know, like, you know, you'll see something about it. Like, I used it to help me learn how to grow mushrooms. There's, you know, you could join groups like that. Groups is cool.
It's like a more like a centralized Reddit, like Reddit's a little too wild.
It's like a way to turn your Facebook into Reddit, basically. You know, you follow things you're interested in on Reddit, and that kind of like forms your Reddit. That's the same thing with Facebook. It's
a good way to keep an eye on your crazy Southern right wing cousins. So.
Yeah, yeah. What are they doing? Are they building a bomb? Like,
right, you know. Like. What are they doing down there today?
Are they threatening to kill people? Okay.
Oh, good. They're just posting
authorities.
Just posting about their kids' sports games. That's good. That's changed from like their terribleness.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of people showed their asses, like I said, in 2016. So it was also a great way to prune people out of it. But yes, it is also weird to be like, oh, that guy, girl from college grew up to be another. oh, like one of the ones I always find fascinating is like a friend I knew in college who turned out to be a teacher. And I'm like, I don't know. I still don't know how to get you around kids. But
you know, it's weird. Like, there's people I knew that were really smart that turned out crazy. Kind of like there was a girl. I feel bad saying this because I like her and everything. I was good friends with her, but it's like you were super smart. You went to a magnet school, and you're posting about how like you can't buy soap from the store because it has chemicals in it. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I'm always so fascinated by the things people like. I feel like
the traps that people fall into. You know that
it's
they
always so fascinating because I'm like, we all I buy it. I'm like, we all on the same internet, and then I'm like, no, we're not.
I'm in a group on Facebook of like people that I went to grade school with.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was not friends with most of these people.
It's
like, you are all nuts now. Like, and you still all live in like the same neighborhood you grew up in. It's like really weird. And then, but some of them are like, yep, you were kind of like, you know, I mean, as skanky as like an eighth grader can be, you still are. Or like you were weird then, and you haven't now, changed at all.
Now you're really weird.
Like now you're like, and there's nothing wrong with cosplaying, but it's like you're going to like these small like conventions and hotels that have like 100 people dressing up and like goofy costumes. Like, yeah, you did that when we were, you know, 12 and we're 44 now, so and I mean they give me a laugh every once in a while, and sometimes I just have to mute them because they haven't grown out of the same neighborhood they grew up in. Twitter,
rest in peace Twitter.
I guess we'll stay on the news.
Sure.
This one kind of popped, I guess, on Halloween. EA has made a deal with Marvel. The first game coming from there is an Iron Man game. Tony did not seem too enthusiastic about this.
EA already tried to put out an Iron Man game-ish, and it was the last time that I spent $60 in a game and utterly, completely regretted every last dime of it.
That's fair.
So, and I can't remember the last time EA made like a good game. It's been a while.
That's, yeah, that's fair. I'm like trying to think like, cause like you like Battlefield, but it took 6 months for that game to kind of get fixed. And
oh, more than 6 months. It took like a year of like redevelopment after launch. So like, when was the last time EA put out a game like, ooh, I'm really glad I played that.
You're right.
I can't think of one. I can't, like, Mass Effect 3? Like, I love Madden, but, like, it's been a while since there was a great Madden, too. Like, it's just, like, when was the last time EA put out a stellar product? And I can't tell you.
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank on like when the last like
they have these properties like, you know, Madden's fun to play and
right. Well, EA, you know, EA makes like they have their sports franchises. They have
Sims.
But even Sims, like
what they've done to it is awful. Like
right, they literally had to release a new Sims game and make the old one free to play because the way they conceived Sims 4 was not good.
Yeah, it's
and like the best EA products that I remember playing in like recent years have been like remakes and re-releases.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just gonna say. Like that, you know, that Need for Speed, you know, Most Wanted. Was it Most Wanted, Jeff?
Yeah, that was a good one.
That one was good.
They did the Hot Pursuit one again. But again, that's like, hey, remember?
Good games, yeah.
Slightly better than we are
now. Apex is them, Tony.
Even Apex has been out for a long time now.
Yeah, it was 2019. That's Star Wars, the X-Wing multiplayer game. That was pretty good, but that was a couple of years ago.
And even that was like a budget title. It wasn't even like a real...
Yeah.
Like, if I was to say any of them, it would be like their, like, what is it, Unraveled.
And, like they're like independent.
I feel like their indie games are fucking. I don't know, dude.
They're okay.
I don't know. It's like they're trying to be like, oh yeah, we could do this too, and it just feels soulless to me. Like Unraveled feels like soulless to me. Like
Earl, yeah. Like Knockout City. That was them.
That's fun.
But yeah, there's not much. Like I'm looking, like even Unraveled, like was not in the last few years. So
yeah. No.
Yeah,
I was like, gonna say Apex 2, but I didn't know of that game. But
if you're gonna tell me like one of the major publishers is making Iron Man, EA would not be the one I would hope for. Like there are a number of others who could do a much more interesting job.
I am confident
they got that Anthem engine just sitting around there. Like, they got to make use of it.
I am confident in that Dead Space remake, and but that's another. It's a remake, right?
It's a remake. Yeah,
but also, fine, but... yeah. Jedi Survivor, though, I have confidence in that. That'll be pretty good.
Wait a second. Did they do that awesome Jedi game?
Yeah, Respawn did it. So the sequel, Jedi Survivor, is out next year.
But that is under EA.
Yeah, Respawn owns EA, so yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the Titanfall Apex guys.
Yeah. All right, so for me, that's like that is a good EA game.
Yeah.
I really did like that game.
Like that's it. Sure. That's like the last one I could really kind of point to. It's like
years,
big budget game, and that was 2019, 2020. So yeah. Motive is the ones, it looks like they're the ones behind the Iron Man game, so that's
concerning.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. They're fine. They're the ones that are working on that Dead Space one. They worked on some of the Battlefront stuff with DICE. And they did that, the Rogue Squadron game, but like none of that really plays to what Iron Man is, so I don't know. It's like I don't know if we're gonna like what that game will be. If they take Anthem though and like put a cool Marvel story over it, I thought the Anthem flying was good.
Right, that was the only part of that game was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if they could write like a cool Iron Man game around that, I don't know. We'll see. It's a ways off. They did not announce the other two games, I don't think. I don't think they announced what they were. Just that they have a three-game deal with Disney and Marvel on that. So, another piece of news came out Tuesday is Embracer, everyone's favorite publisher that's gobbling everybody up, embracing everybody, I guess. They're shutting their Montreal studio down that they had just acquired from Square Enix.
Like 3 weeks ago or something.
It wasn't too long ago, yeah. They just finalized that deal, and that they're shutting that down. Eidos Montreal is staying intact, but whatever this used to be Square Enix Montreal, they are gone now. And those other studios that they picked up, so Eidos Montreal, Crystal Dynamics, they're all licensed out to Microsoft currently. They're working on Eidos is evidently working on Fable with Playground Games, and Crystal Dynamics is working with the Initiative, I think that's what they're called, on that Perfect Dark game. So I don't know, weird. To buy it and just like, we don't need you. Looks like they really just wanted those IPs. And the last thing I have written down here is they announced the PSVR 2 pricing. $549.
Yeah.
Seems expensive.
Yeah, I you know, there's probably no way it's ever going to be cheap, you know.
Yeah, which is also it's like a niche, way of saying it's going to continue being it's going to continue being extremely niche. Yeah.
But that's all it's ever going to be. You can make it $100. It's not going to be how you want to play video games. It's a fun. You know, I like VR. I had the PSVR when it came out, and it's like to me, it's like an amusement park ride. It's something that's fun to play with for a minute. It's like this is not how you want to play games for the most part. My opinion, just saying.
Well, based off of the sales of the PlayStation VR and all these other things, I think most people are in agreement. Again, the price of entry and like there's a lot of things that it goes against VR aside from the price, but the price being more expensive than the actual base system is definitely not helping its case.
Cool thing, it's a cool experience, and it's I don't think ever going to be a way to make it cheap, and even if it was, like I said, it's just. It's cool that it exists, and that I can't, you know, I'm surprised that they, you know, reiterated on it and did a PSVR 2 or whatever, but, I don't know. Who's getting it?
No way. Not at $550. Like, that is more expensive than the PlayStation 5 itself.
Yeah. Which is the thing you actually want to play. Like, it's a fun thing to experience. It's a cool thing. Like you let someone else try out. You know what I mean? It's like if Wii Sports was an entire system. That's what like PSVR is. It's like here's something cool, like something fun for 10 minutes to show your friends. Like, but then like I did play through Resident Evil 7, I think. Mostly in VR, and it was really cool experience, but it's just like it's a generally like I'm fine just staring at a screen.
But you can stare at a screen in virtual reality.
Yeah, with it right on your face, Jeff.
It did create some good like scares and not for $500 though, sorry.
You bought the first one. Do you remember how much that first one was?
I don't know. I don't remember. I remember I sold it for like, I'll say I sold it for like $300. So maybe I was like $500 in the first place. I don't remember.
That's fair. I mean, it just seems like it seems absurd. Like, I'm sure it's not. Like, I think what the Vive and all that is up there around that price too. It's just
there's a lot of tech to it. That's what I'm saying. It's like you can't.
Yeah, it can't be cheap.
I'm sure they'd like to put it at a lower price point, but
and it is more powerful than what's the Meta one, the Quest 2, or whatever it is, which is kind of the mobile version of the Rift. It's, you know, it's way more advanced than that. It's just $550 for something that doesn't have a lot of games on it is, as you said, not the way most people want to play games. So
at least, you know, most of the time, like, again, I think it's cool. I think VR is awesome, but it's just most of the time I just want to sit with a controller in my hand and play on the TV. Like that's fine.
Well, we'll see how that turns out. I mean, my understanding is the PSVR was maybe the most successful of the VR things. But even then, it wasn't like mainstream. Like,
Yeah, it got like, it surprised me though, because after I sold it, like, it's, I still keep hearing about, oh, you gotta try this game in VR. It's like, it got like its support in a way, like, sort of, you know, nothing like big AAA games that are just here just for VR. But yeah. there were like interesting things to check out always coming on it.
All right, so, Tony.
Yes,
you've been playing something called, what's it, Banner Lord?
Yes, Mountain Blade 2 Banner Lord, which I've actually been playing for a very long time. It came out in early access in, like, I want to say April of 2020.
So it's been around a while.
It's been around, but the game went to full release on October 25th. So there were tons of updates. The game has changed a lot since it came out. But the basic premise of the game, it's an action RPG. You play as a guy in, like, a medieval world who can, like... You're like the leader of your clan. When your clan starts off, it's basically just you and your brother roaming around this world looking for stuff to do. It starts off, you could, you know, just walk around, like, hunting bandits. You can go to, like, your local farmer and get a quest where you escort his herd to the next town over so it could be so, like, it's that small. And it grows as you play along. So you grow out your party. You get you recruit people to be your soldiers and be in your army. And you just keep building and building and building until you're bigger and bigger and bigger. And your clan grows. And at some point you can hire your clan out as a mercenary band for local kings and queens, or you can, like, pledge your service to them. And at some point you can go big enough to, like, break off on your own and form your own kingdom. And at that point you can command armies and, like, take over your opponents. But you're always playing as this, like, one person, which is kind of the cool bit. So you can do whatever you want. Like, you can walk around town as this person. You can meet people. You can walk through alleys and get ambushed by ruffians and fight them off. You could do what I suggested that our buddy Sean play this game, because I knew the moment he found out it was an action RPG where you could just roam around doing stuff, like, he'd be obsessed. Which I think I have been proven right. there's this mode where you can, like, walk into the town's arena and, like, fight in, like, tournaments. And there's, like, the tournaments are, like, multi-stage, where you can...
A gladiator, you know, type contest?
Like, you're literally in a gladiatorial arena. And when they stick you in the arena, you have no idea what the setup is going to be. So in some of them, it's a one-on-one battle. In others, you're on a team of four. Sometimes it's a free-for-all where everybody's, like, killing each other. And, like, you have to get through these four rounds to, like, win the tournament. But it's kind of cool in the tournaments because everything is random. So, like, if I'm roaming around normally in the game, like, I have my character as he's designed. Like, my current guy is a horse archer who wields a sword, and he's really good with those. He's good with the bow and arrow on horseback. He's good with the sword. He's good at riding around. When you're fighting in the arena, it's randomized. So they could give you any damn weapon. A lot of times it'll stick you with, like a throwing spear. And I'm like, my guy can't throw spears. Like, he throws it and, like, just hits the ground next to him because he's, like, can't throw. But occasionally he'll give me a bow and arrow, and I'm like, ha! You're all dead. But Sean has gotten obsessed with the arena portion of it, which, you know, you can make a lot of money and get prestige fighting in the arena.
Is there, like, a story to it?
Yeah,
or
that's where the Banner Lord title comes in. So, like, the first thing that happens is the game is your character comes across this piece of this banner. And there's this quest to, like, find all the other pieces of the banner. And then use that banner to get yourself, or someone else proclaimed as the new rightful emperor. And of course, as the Banner Lord, it like makes all this stuff happen. Like when you finally raise the banner, declare your empire, there's all these events that occur. So there is a storyline, but you don't have to follow it at all. Like you can literally go out in the world and do whatever the hell you want. It's cool in so many respects. I like the battles. So you're in command. You may be in command of an army, but you're also like a dude walking around in the field in the middle of the battle. I say walking, like, I don't know how you could do this. Like, you can command an army without being on horse. But like, if you're just walking around, you can't move fast enough to keep up with some of the things that are going on. You can't see anything. So I always command from horseback. But you're literally standing out there, like telling like this unit of horsemen charge and this one fall back and archers move to this point. And you're guiding people around while at the same time like fighting in the battle and like swinging your sword around and shooting people with arrows yourself. It sounds really complicated, but I think the way the game kind of builds up, it starts so small, like you kind of get used to those elements. So it kind of serves as its own tutorial. I don't know how Sean is playing. You play the game with the controller. The game is on like Xbox and PlayStation. It's not just a PC game. I've been playing with the mouse and keyboard though, because I find like the archery from horseback is super hard with the controller.
With the mouse and keyboard, it makes it a little bit easier.
I'm headshotting people from like 60 yards. They're going down while you know at the gallop. So that I can't imagine how you could manage that with a controller. It's a ton of fun. I'm really really enjoying the game. I'm really glad that they spent the time to take it from where it was 2 years ago to where it is now. You could definitely see the work in there. It's great to like command an army in the field. The sieges look awesome. So like you're attacking a castle and there'll be catapults throwing stuff all over. The battles are huge too. Like there could be like hundreds and hundreds of people on the screen at a time. And like you're like shooting somebody with an arrow while they're fighting with someone else, and then you're like ducking because somebody else is coming at you with like the battles feel like a swirling melee the whole time, like a real battle would feel. It's pretty awesome. So
that's cool. And that's on consoles.
Yes.
As well. So
yeah, the console release came at the same time as the full like Steam release.
Nice. Playing anything else besides medieval kingdom building?
I also started NBA 2K23. I'm not wild about the way the game starts off. For the sole reason, like in the last couple of games, like when you start, and I always play the My Career mode. You started your My Career mode, you're like in the D League. So you'd spent all this time in the D League developing your player, and then you made it to the NBA. Or the last couple where you could like play in college for a while and then make the NBA. This one, the game starts off with you being drafted at number 18. And the first game that you play, well, I guess they do put you in like the Summer League Championship game. But the very next game after that is your first NBA game. And since you haven't played the game at all, you suck at it.
Yeah.
And you haven't had time to earn any of the VC that lets you like develop your player. So you are terrible at everything. You can't shoot. You can't rebound. I did notice I could pass. But that's only because I like know how to pass in NBA games. Like the shooting doesn't help at all. Like the meter moves so fast because your player is so bad. Like you can't make a shot. Like, I have no idea how people score at this game until they've played for a while. Unless you go out and literally, like, buy some VC, which I suppose you could do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. But I'll just suffer until my player is good. But it's just kind of a sucky way to start.
Is there that open world that, like, last year where you're getting coffee for people?
There is a rather spacious open world. I haven't quite played enough of the game to get much of it, but it's definitely there with all, like, the shops and the stores and, like, a world full of stuff and people and things happening. So, yeah, it's there again.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's, like, last year where there's, like, a full, like, story worth of stuff going on in there where you're, like, getting quests and, like, running around and having, like, go jogging. I don't know if they put that in the game again. But I will find out, I suppose.
All right. And let us know how, if you end up playing any, like, I know you mostly play the My Career stuff and both that and Madden, but if you end up playing any, like, regular games, you know, there's like all sorts of filters. Like, you can play in, like, the 80s and
90s. I saw, and the WNBA is back too.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, there's a lot of ways to play it. Yeah.
Lots of stuff in those games.
Those games are always so packed, and it makes me so sad when I see how great this is and how bad Madden is. Why?
I've been playing a pair of games as well. One kind of new, one not so new. Proteus. You guys hear that one?
Mm-mm.
No.
So it is on Game Pass. It's very Doom-ish. Like, very Doom-inspired. And it looks... It kind of has, like, a pixelated look, like the original Doom. Like, it kind of has that kind of style to it, but super gory and...
Wait, is this the boomer shooter?
Sure, I guess.
I saw some discourse on it, like, people hating the term boomer shooter.
Boomer shooter.
But, like games, like, design, like, 90s, like Doom and Castle Wolfenstein and stuff like that.
Oh, it's very much that. It is very much a 90s inspired, Doom inspired first person shooter.
What is that guy named? Dave
Oshry.
Oshry.
Yes, his company's very big into that Dusk and stuff like that.
Yep.
I didn't know where the tree came from, but yes, that is, they're called boomer shooters.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, what, I guess it's one of them. I think Jeff will really, like, if he gives it this one a shot, I think you'll like it, Jeff. Very, very Doom-ish.
Who doesn't like Doom?
Oh,
everybody should like it. Not just boomers.
I don't like Doom. I hate it.
Don't like about it is how it switches guns. Like, you have to press, like, the left bumper, and it kind of pauses it, and you can select a new gun instead of, you know, in Doom, you would just, you know,
cycle.
Yeah, you would just cycle through, like, it wouldn't stop the game.
I think I could see liking stopping it, because that way it's like pulling up your weapon wheel.
It's exactly what you want. Yeah, it is. It's like pulling up a weapon wheel, except it's like a grid of guns. And you have access to all. So, like, you start out with a pistol, but that line of guns, like, moves, like, so that ammo you can use. Regular pistol ammo in pistols, in the SMG, and then in, like, a chain gun, so it's like regular ammo. Then there's, like, a shotgun list, a plasma rifle area, explosives, and then you pick up, like, that type of ammo, like, to kind of, like, replenish, and you can utilize that ammo across all your different guns that use it. So I don't know, it seems really cool. It's long too. I put in almost 5 hours into it now, and it said I'm, like, about halfway done, so it's beefy.
It's on Game Pass.
It's on Game Pass. I'm playing it on PC, but it's also on console. There's an upgrade path. Like you pick up what's called ore. So it's like a currency you can pick up, and there's only so much of it on each level. And some of them are like hidden in secret areas, kind of like in Doom, like where you find a secret area and it's like, oh, here's whatever, like, you know, a secret area in this might have some ore, and use the ore to buy, upgraded weapons or, now where like I'm on the second tier and like you can buy a double jump, and I guess the next upgrade I'm working towards is like a dash.
So some modern spins.
Yeah.
It's like a modern, like, you know, like they do with a lot of these retro games. It's like,
yeah, it looks retro, but it plays more like, you know, today's Doom, like a Doom 20, was it 2016? It plays more like that than original Doom, but it looks more like original Doom.
Interesting. What's it called again? Proteus?
Proteus. Proteus.
Okay.
Really fun so far. Like, it's, you know, you're just ripping through enemies. There's blood splatter everywhere. And you'll go into, it's like, you know, it's futuristic looking, you know, space shit like that. Mm-hmm. And you'll go into a tunnel that's, you know, silver, because that's what the ship kind of looks like, or the area you're in. And then when you kill an enemy, like the blood splatter, and it just leaves like a red trail, like wherever you shot them. So like you're painting the areas that you're moving through with blood as you're doing, like, monster blood, and the monster designs are pretty cool. It's really neat. Glad I gave it a shot on Game Pass, and I'll probably finish through that. The other one I'm playing, also on Game Pass, although I bought it, I finally went back and I'm playing Guardians of the Galaxy again to finish it this time. That game's story gets really good. I think the characterization's really good, like, as that game moves on. That gameplay, though, whew, it's rough. Very repetitive. It, like, wants to be Mass Effect, but
it's not. So I'm happy, because I was so confused as to how this was getting so many, like, Game of the Year nods last year, because I'm like, the game is actually kind of boring.
Yeah, like, the playing the game is not great. I'm really, really enjoying the story. I think the characterizations are great. Okay.
I was going to say, I didn't get far into it either, so I don't know about the story. I felt it was more like great characters, not necessarily a great plot. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying being with the characters. Like, the plot is, it's kind of comic booky, right? Like, there's stuff in there. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but like, you probably see where it's going. Like, it's not super original, but yeah, it's being with those characters, and I think very good versions of those characters. Very close to maybe the MCU versions of them, I think.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, I like that. You know, I like the MCU Guardians of the Galaxy, so.
I mean, let's be honest. Just though you think people already know about them.
Yeah, I mean, I've read the comics before, but yes. Like,
how dare you, Earl? How dare you?
He's not wrong. because, yeah, like, what got me into Guardians in the first place was that the movie was coming out, so that was when I started reading the comics. It's like, I'm not really drawn to read more of them. I like Rocket and Groot. Who doesn't?
Me.
So Jeff doesn't like fun. But
I think most of the characters in the movies are more interesting than the ones in the comic book.
And like, part
I don't find, like, the comic Peter Quill to be interesting at all. Like, I don't like Drax is so much more fun in the movies than he is in the.
And I think part of it is, like, because you're telling a finite story, you can actually kind of make, like, where comic book characters tend to kind of have to be broader, because it's like, you're gonna have it for a year, then this other person's gonna come along and they're gonna change it for a year. Then it's like, we're like, you know, especially with Guardians, because that's been James Gunn throughout everything. It's not like been like others where it's like, you know, like Iron Man was Favreau than it was. What is the guy who did 3? Shane Black. I think Captain America's been what it was. I forget who did the first one, and then the Russo's been the next 2. So yeah,
and then somebody else for the fourth one.
I thought Civil War was the Russo's.
No, for the fourth one, I'm saying.
Oh yes, for the fourth one, it's going to be some. But that's also a different character. But yeah. Also, like one of those characters that was introduced by the Russos and handled by them, but the TV show with somebody else, and yeah, it's stuff like that. I think the easiest example is probably Black Widow, because she's been handled by everybody. Her hair changes. Nobody gets her character, so she kind of exists.
Yeah. So Mantis shows up at some point in this, and I think she's really good in the game. And she's not like the MCU version, but she's actually more fun, I think. I don't know. I'm enjoying being in that world, but the gameplay super frustrating. Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's fun enough. I'm surprised, like you though, Earl. It's so many people that were like, "My God, this is like a surprise game of the year contender." It's like,
no.
Is it because you like really enjoyed the characters? Like, I'm confused.
Like, actually playing the game is not fun. That's why I stopped. Like, I enjoyed the story while I was playing, but the playing of the game is not good at all.
When you play as the least interesting character, like combat wise, because Star-Lord has a pair of pistols. You're just running around shooting. Like, Drax is like, you know, he's big, he picks stuff up. Rocket has a, you know, he fucking blows shit up. Gamora has a, you know, a katana. Groot is using his, like, tree shit. And then you're playing, like, the most generic soldier dude. And, like, his special powers aren't that good. Like,
yes, and that was the other thing. I think I joked about it when it came out, is you had a Avengers game that was multiplayer that should have been single player, and you had a Guardians game that's single player that should have been multiplayer.
Yeah, I think it would make it super more enjoyable.
Because control different characters, and you had that airport system that made a lot more sense.
But yeah, I'm playing through that and just trying to kind of finally chalk that one off the list. Earl, you play anything this week?
Nothing new. I've gone back to Splatoon 3 because you know, took a break or whatever. I got into some Salmon Run with some friends, and then I was going back through some campaign, and I'm still enjoying it. But I think I think this was Jeff. I know Jeff had different campaigns, but it's odd. It's the opposite of getting monotonous, but I feel like they try to come up with so many different things that some of them are just like, I was just doing one that I was just like, this isn't fun. Where it's like you're trying to like carve out a shape out of crates. So you have to make sure you're not like breaking the wrong crates. And I'm like, this isn't really that exciting of a game.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
Maybe it could have been one I skipped. Was it like one of the... Well, the thing is, like, most levels are technically optimal. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you just need enough to, like, open up this stuff.
Yeah. You just got, like, find the path. Like, whatever, you know, the way to the next island. That's it. Like, it doesn't really matter. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, but and that's kind of it. It's gotten to the point where I'm like, I like doing the stages. So I'll go and I'll do the stages. But like a lot of the overworld, I'm like, oh, I'm not like a lot of times you reveal that stuff, and it's like nothing special underneath it. It's just like, oh, it's carrying out more of the map. I'm like, oh no, I can navigate the map without this stuff. So yeah, but again, it when it's good, it's very good. But like again, it's like, oh, we have to come up with something, and it's like I'm breaking boxes here. This is not that fun. Or there's one that's essentially kind of like curling when you're using the not the remote bomb, but like the I don't know what you call it, like the curler, that's what they call it. And you throw that, and you have to like throw it in a, like you have to throw it on a path so that it fills up in time to destroy stuff. this isn't fun, because that's not, again, it's not a game of skill. It's like making sure your character is perfectly aligned. Like, you can't be too far to the left or too far to the right, because it's going to throw off the platform. But again, not skill.
I still remember something like that. It was annoying.
Yes. Like, I got there at the end, but I'm like, this isn't necessarily fun.
Wait till you get to the final stage.
But I like what they're trying to do. I mean, I always, like, you know, and I would also say, I think part of the reason I liked one, I think one's campaign is still kind of the peak. It's like they were telling a fun and fresh story, where this one, it's even gotten to the point like, oh, we're doing the same thing we've done before. With like Agent 3 and all that other stuff. And there's actually not much of a story in between it. It's like you're just looking for Gramps.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much every chapter. It's like, oh, he's at that beeping tower. Spoiler, it's not him in that beeping tower. It's going to be a boss fight.
Yeah, yeah. I'm fine with that, because it's just...
I don't mind it. It's simple. Yeah. But I just meant, like, I feel like it's not even trying to be clever or charming this time. Like, you don't, like, part of, again, what worked with one and two is you had the commentary going through all of that. Yeah, again, game's still fun, and I do like that they are trying to teach you how to actually play the game and use a variety of the weapons and skills. I think, it's essentially just a really, really prolonged tutorial for the multiplayer. Which also still remains a ton of fun. I'm still so surprised that there are not more things that try to ape the you don't necessarily need to kill, you need to focus on other things mentality that Splatoon has. Because again, it does help people who may not necessarily be great in deathmatch scenarios, but who can help out in other ways.
Anything else?
I think aside from that, I've put some time into... I've just been playing a lot of Picross, Sega Picross, because I got into that on my train ride when I was in California. It was just a... And I think I mentioned this game before, and I had dropped it. Not for any reason. I think I just started playing another game. But I went back to... what is that game called? I'm going to have... Song for a Hero, the one like that's the singing platformer, and okay. yeah I think the game, like, I mean, it's really like, again, it, but when it opens up and you get all your different abilities, it really is like, it's, it shows you how well intricate they design the stages and stuff. Again, really cool boss battles. It has like that Zelda mentality where it's like you're gonna get an item in this world, and that item's going to come in handy for this boss, and it's just figuring out, like, how do you attack this boss with that item? And it's not necessarily attacking, but like, getting in a position, or how do you use it to counter stuff? Yeah, I think it does, I think, I forget how much I paid for it, maybe $5-$10. It does a really good job. I think it's a really charming game. And if you see it on sale, I would recommend it.
Jeff? Play any more Modern Warfare?
Played a bunch more. I think I got 5 missions left.
Okay.
I have 17 missions, dude. So
that's pretty beefy.
For Call of Duty campaign, I think it is, right? Like,
yeah, it's normally like, what, 10, 11, maybe?
Something like that, yeah, in that range, right? So there's a lot there. I discussed it a little bit last week, I think, right? Like, you know,
yeah,
just a lot of variety, dude. Like, they've been good at this for a while now. I think it's just like, it's not just like you're running across a battlefield and trying to push forward and killing dudes. It's like different scenarios that they come up with, and yeah, they continue to surprise me. Like, so some of the ones I think I was telling you guys about in the group chat, like there's an air support mission, which is really cool because you're just like hovering above, helping out. Like, they'll be like, you know, northwest side by the church. And you, so you have to like, all right, look at your screen. All right, where's northwest? Okay, now where's that church? And try to zoom in on time and drop some missiles. Really, really fun mission for me was this one where it's like, you're moving in on this factory, like the, kind of like a factory area, like this big fence is an area with a few buildings, and first you have to snipe everything. Everybody that's outside, you have to kill everybody like before you approach. And it's just you and this other dude sniping, and it's really fun to do, like where it's like you'll zoom in on like two guys standing there, and the guy, you know, the guy that you're with is like, okay, it's you're gonna have to aim 2.5 notches above because of the distance, and I'll take the guy on the left side, you take the guy on the right, you know, that type of shit. Like you're just doing that. This level took me like probably 1.5-2 hours. You're doing this for a while with this guy. Sometimes there'll be three guys in a group, and he'll be like, can you line up your shot so that you kill two guys at once? Because if you don't do that, one guy's going to run off, and if you guys can't snipe him before he gets going, he's just going to alert everybody, and then you're kind of fucked, right? So it's really fun. Like, the first half of the mission is just, like, sniping. But then you're moving in on the buildings. Like, you know, okay, you kill everybody outside so you could cross the fence, whatever. Then it's like, kill everybody inside of these buildings. And the way I went about it is crawling up on top of the roof of the buildings and shooting through the skylights and just taking everybody out. You could, alternately, for instance, like, crawl on top of the roof and rip open the ventilation and throw a smoke grenade or something in so that to smoke people out. And then as they're coming out of the building, shoot them that way. It's just a really fun mission. It's just really well designed. I did one tonight where you were like, basically, shit went south, and shit went sideways, and you're like in a fucking city in the middle of nowhere by yourself, and you're unarmed, and the whole level is like you trying to like, basically, it's kind of like a stealth level, but you're also like looking for items, like anything you could scrape together, you know, like basically crafting, like, oh, I found some wire, I found some this, I found some that, and slowly you're like, all right, now I have so like a little makeshift like MacGyver bomb. You're just like slowly like, all right, I could kill this guy now, and now I have a knife, you know. And like, yeah, as you're just going through the city, you're just getting more and more powerful, and you know, by the end you have fucking guns and you're killing everybody. I don't know, I think this campaign is really fun, man, like really good.
Nice.
I think the game in general is really good. I've played a decent amount of the multiplayer too. I don't know. I do think that, like, there's a level of consistency to this series at this point, and it's been there for a little while, in my opinion. Like, I don't know. I know people are like, oh, Vanguard was not good. I'm like, I don't know. I thought it was okay. Like, I thought it was pretty good. I really liked the year before, which I always forget its name.
Black Ops Cold War.
Yes, I thought that one was really fucking good. But I like this campaign, I put above either of those. Like, this campaign is really good. Like, every level, I'm like, it's, every level is just like something different, and it's exciting or fun or interesting in some way, you know? So, and you're getting apparently more of it. Like, again, I don't remember there being 17 missions to most of these games. So, yeah, Modern Warfare 2 is a recommend for me, for sure.
Nice. You play anything else this week?
I played Bayonetta 3.
How's that?
It's good. It's good.
How's the voice acting?
It's very good. I would have never noticed. Sorry to the lady who was mad. I forgot her name.
I'm not sorry.
Helena Taylor. How's the gameplay?
It's good. It's like, I think Bayonetta has like in general, not just Bayonetta 3, but Bayonetta has like a couple things going for it, which is one, the combat system is pretty fun, you know, just the series of things you have to do to like kill something. And two, like Bayonetta is like a really cool, she's just a cool character, and she's hot, and You know, it's just that makes it fun. And it's crazy and it's zany and it's over the top. And this is more of that. I did forget. Now, my introduction to the series was Bayonetta 2. And so, like, it was all new to me and it kind of, like, blew me away. So, like, this one's not blowing me away because I'm like, all right, I know what to expect. But I did forget how much, like, nonsense anime bullshit cutscenes there are in these games. Like, oh my god, I could not care less. Like, I don't care what the plot is whatsoever. Like, and in fact, like, funnily enough, in like Call of Duty, I'm actually paying attention to the plot in that one a little bit, which I don't do normally in games, but it's like, it's kind of like, it's simple enough and interesting enough. This is just like, I don't fucking know. I don't care, but I watch all the cutscenes because it's always just like really stupid. I'm just like, okay, but like they drag on and on. So there's a lot of that. You can skip them. I do think the game sometimes does a poor job of explaining things to you. For the most part, like every time you like gain something new, there's like a, it'll, like something will, like a screen will pop up telling you, you know, you get to do this, this and that. But like, I still think it's, even though it does that, it's not good at explaining what you're supposed to do. Like, so you should still be confused. So there's like these like basically kaiju things that you can fucking summon, like these giant fucking gods that you can summon to kill shit. And one of them I got was a train. It's like a, and you get to like lay track, and then after you draw like the line with your track, then the train goes and damages people, right? And it, one of the things to like open a door, it was like basically you had to kill all four things simultaneously. And so you have to use this train. Draw the train going through them, it hits them all, they're all dead, it opens up the door. And your train, like you could attack, like you could like punch, kick, like as the train's passing through, you could do that. But I didn't realize you're supposed to be like pressing the, you're supposed to be like, as you're laying the track, programming your attacks at the same time. I was like, as the train was moving across the enemies for real, I was trying to hit and punch the enemies. Mm-hmm. But it didn't explain, I'm sorry if I'm like explaining this poorly, but it didn't explain that like, in order to attack, it has to be pre-programmed just like when you're laying the track. So as you're laying the track, you press X when you want to hit like the enemy, and then you let go and it just does the whole thing automatic. And it just doesn't like explain that. Like it just says like these buttons are attack. And it's like, okay, well, there's been a few instances like that where I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, what am I doing wrong here? And I'm getting stuck. Like,
not really pushing it forward to you in a cohesive, coherent way.
Yeah, it's not super coherent always with their like. Again, like they do explain everything to you as you get it, but not always well enough. And I guess, you know, I hope you like the combat and stuff because like they don't add enough else in there. Like, you know, like very little kind of like exploration or puzzles. And like, I know the game is just kind of a straight action game, but in all of these types of games like this, like I appreciate when like it, you know, you get something else. You know what I mean? Like, and here there's a little bit, but then some of the stuff that they add, like there was one part that was like a 2D side-scrolling segment that I found ultra annoying. I hated. I don't know. I don't even sound like down on the game. Like I'm enjoying it for the most part, but. It's not like blowing me away or anything.
More Bayonetta.
More Bayonetta. There's things that are different. I guess I didn't really like explain the things that are different, but I think I kind of said those last week. Where it's like you can summon these things all the time. Sometimes you play like only once so far. I guess maybe I'm only on like the fifth chapter. Like you will play as this other character. And they play slightly differently, sort of. It's basically like when you're Bayonetta, you can like summon these fucking giant things to fight for you. And when you do that, you are the giant thing and you're fighting, and Bayonetta kind of stands still and she's open to attack, like someone could attack her, right? Kind of the opposite when you play as this other character. You can summon these giant creatures and the giant creatures auto attack for you, and you can still run around and fight, but you can only use your fists. Not a huge, you know, it's like, again, it's like, oh yeah, you felt like you had to add something here, but it's not really that interesting or different. We'll see where I land on it. I it's still fun. Like, I have zero regrets about buying the game, but it's just like, so far, I'm just like, yeah, it's fun. It's weird because like I'm playing this at the same time as Call of Duty, and like, I'm very surprised to say that Call of Duty is like pulling my interest way more than this game. Like, I'm just like,
when it's bringing you back.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, I should probably play like a level of Bayonetta tonight. Like, I'm trying to like evenly to divide my time, but like, I think in my heart, I want like that Call of Duty is like, I find the campaign really compelling. I'm really surprised at some of the mixed reviews that the campaign got, because I'm finding it to be really fun. And that's it.
All right. Yeah. Well, we got some games next week. I feel Tony's going to be playing God of War.
Your favorite. Your favorite.
I am a
boy.
What? Why you? Don't you have PS5?
I do. I think I will be waiting on that, though. Really? I heard it is a 30-hour game.
Yeah, that it sounds cool.
Takes 10 hours to get moving. And I did not love 2018 COD 4, so I will be waiting to hear what Tony has to say about it.
Tony's going to say it's awesome and that you should buy it.
Yeah, and then I may still just wait on it a little bit longer.
If I had PS5, I'd be buying it for sure. No doubt. I thought 2018 was really fucking cool.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think I was the dissenting voice on that. Yeah. I did not enjoy the boy. The axe was fun. Being able to throw the axe and then call it back to you. That was fun. But I also don't know if I want to do that for 30 hours. Like, that's a
yeah, you do.
No, I mean, it was something like Tony played all the way. Did you finish Horizon, Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, you played all the way through that. Like, that's another one.
Those games.
I mean, that game is really good. Like, Horizon was really good. It's just, it was like, I was 10 hours in and I did not feel I was moving anywhere. And it was like, other shit came up. So
the new one or the first one?
The new one. The first one I kind of like blew
through.
The first
one was
like,
shorter.
Yeah.
By a lot.
The first one, I got bored of the first one right away, but God of War was fucking, that game was sick, dude. I'd be all over it. If I had PS5, I'd be all over it.
Was not what I wanted out of God of War either. Like, it was only the one really big boss fight and that was weird, like against the dragon. You fought the same dude 3 times.
It was like the Resident Evil 4 of God of War, sort of.
Yeah, so
like, our perspective. Yeah. Whoa.
I do not love Resident Evil 4 either. I like it, but it's not my favorite of the Resident Evils.
All right.
You know, just laying it all out there.
Whoa.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing Tony gush about it next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about Sonic Frontiers.
Is that next week too?
It's coming. Oh, yeah, it's coming.
So we'll have that. We'll have Sonic Frontiers. We'll have God of War. I will have a game called The Chant, which I blind bought. That's a little bit up my alley. Survival horror takes place in the 70s on like a cult retreat type compound. And looks like it may go into like some... what would you call our recent episode of Recurring Nightmares, Jeff? What was your terminology for that type of horror?
What type of horror?
What the the latest recurring nightmares that we just did.
Cosmic Horror?
Cosmic Horror, yeah. Like
Lovecraftian.
Yeah, the chant has like this Lovecraftian Cosmic Horror type of vibe to it. And I was like, that looks pretty cool. And picked it up. It's scoring like sixes and sevens, so that's probably a game I'm going to love.
Did you
got a board scoring tens, and I'm like, I'm gonna wait on that one.
Did you play that one that I was into? Like that was like a Resident Evil.
Tormented Souls. I have that right here. Yeah, it's on my hard drive. I meant to get to that in October, but I ended up playing Resident Evil Revelations for like 20 hours.
I'm hearing there's one too called Signalis or something.
Yep. That's one that I have downloaded. That is probably more my style than you said Tormented Souls is kind of classic Resident Evil too.
Very much classic Resident Evil
too. Signalis is like original Resident Evil type stuff. Like it has that pixelated look. It's not over the shoulder. It's kind of like that top perspective that you had in Resident Evil 2 on the PlayStation.
Tormented Souls is not like it's not pixelated. It's like modern graphics.
Yeah, it's modern.
A fixed camera.
I'm looking. I'm looking forward to playing both of those. And the chant. So I will have all three of those on my hard drive. We'll see which ones I get to.
Earl, you gonna play Sonic? Okay.
So yeah, we'll see you next week. Sonic falls into the same camp as we already saw this week.
Dude, it's gonna get 11 out of 10. It's gonna beat God of War.
Best Buy's already doing a buy 2 get 1 free sale on certain games. A Sonic falls into that camp with Gotham Knights, Bayonetta, Mario and Rabbids, where when the time comes, I will get it on discount. I hope.
I have I'm excited for the Xbox digital sale for Thanksgiving because I have like a whole bunch of rewards credit that I can redeem. So I'm hoping for some good sales. Maybe get that game you like about the Bangles.
Yeah, I should do that.
Yeah,
do that.
Old Bangles or something like that. I'll try that one.
Yeah, give me an excuse to get back into it. I'll co-op it with you. We'll do it. We could do it.
I mean, if it goes on sale, maybe.
All right.
I have it on my wish list. Waiting for those sales to hit.
I think we'll get a sale on it.
Yeah. And Earl's keeping an eye out on the buy one get one, buy two get one,
buy two get one. Yeah.
So keeping a look on those sales. All right. We'll be back next week with evidently lots of stuff. Right. I mean, we're right in that area, right? Right before Thanksgiving, the final big batches of games coming out. So we got it. Jeff, say goodnight.
Gotta go fast. Good night.